everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast, brought to you, as always, in association with KPMG. I'm your host, Peter Finnan, and joined by John Craven.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
What's the story? You well?
Very well, absolutely. Lovely weekend.
We gave it a skip last week, but we're back with a bang this week.
Yeah, we didn't have much to talk about last week, in fairness to us, but Jesus, inundated. That was a crazy week of golf.
Stop. Like, there's only one place to start. Johnny Caldwell, like, didn't see it coming at all. We were doing the reports yesterday morning, like, and he was, what was he, 5 or 6 back?
Well off the pace.
And, like, he wasn't on the radar for a win, but phenomenal performance.
Yeah, well, the confession to make from the start was, like, I was on Donabay Beach, just living the high life in the cloudy Irish climate, full of everyone going to the beach for a sunny day that never came, and then, yeah, checking the phone, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's just creeping up the leaderboard, and hopping in the car to rush home to get a bit of work done. It was crazy. Just not expected, but in fairness to him, like, he's been a cool customer since he's gotten that tour, and he's has a few top tens, and he's not quite knocked on the door. You wouldn't have thought he was due that win, but yeah, when he got his chance, he wasn't going to let it go.
It was unreal to see. Yeah, he really chased it down. Like, I just even, you know, he got in the mix early and he just got in a hot run. Like, to shoot 64 in a final round is special, but, like, he, just to keep the foot down, because, like, he put in an eagle on 14, then followed up straight away with a drop shot, like, and yeah, you just think, chance gone. Unfortunately, but he was still playing for second or third, but to put the boot down and do what he did in 18, like, that shot, he said afterwards, the best shot under those circumstances he's ever hit in his life.
Give him 500 golf balls, he's not going to stick one closer, I don't think.
No.
Like, he's landed that on a sixman, and he's needed a bit of luck, like, with the bounce and whatever you, but he said it, a perfect number with a gap wedge, and he just absolutely nailed it.
And he's so into it, no celebration, just like, yeah.
I couldn't believe
he did that there was no release.
Nothing, absolutely. And as you said before we got on here, like, whether or not he knew he was going to win the tournament, he knew he was going to win a chunk of money and get, like, important points and all the rest of it. But he I was about to say he shows no emotion, but then that interview after was so refreshing. Another one of these just unbelievable golf stories, like, you kind of had the Richard Bland, like, these are stories that if the Super Golf League ever takes off, they're gone out the window. Like, these are the romantic sporting stories that you want to hear about.
And I'd say there's a few sore heads this morning in Clandy Boy as well with the old open tab.
I saw they had, like, a 15 second video. They're trying to do 3 cheers for Johnny or whatever, and they must have been all sauce because the like, it was all wrong. Every bit of choreography was just out the window. But yeah, I don't know how many would have taken advantage of that, but fair play to them. He sounds like a real club man up there, really popular with everybody. Couldn't really happen to a nicer guy, I guess.
No, that's it. And when you see the struggles of what it, like, he's 10 years now, there or thereabouts. It's been, what, I don't know what year the Ryder Cup or the Walker Cup was. He was it 2009? Walker Cup?
He turned pro 2009. So, he got his card for the tour.
Yeah, so, like, when you look, because, like, chatting to him afterwards on the sort of post-round press conference, and he was asked the usual, you know, played with Rory McIlroy in Walker Cup and going different directions, and he was just laughing, just like, because one of the UK guys just asked him, are you still in touch with Rory?
He's still gone, friends,
No, our lives have kind of gone in different directions. I was working in Nevada Bobs and he was winning majors, like, but when you look at that, at, like, the scale of, because he spoke about ups and downs and the struggles, and, you know, for, I'd say at least 7-8 years of his professional career, he was questioning, am I doing the right thing here? Should I give it up? Like, this is just not for me. It's not working out. And you're spending a fortune.
The lifestyle sounds like the most unenviable thing, to be working Nevada Bob. So he'd fly out to EuroPro on, what, Tuesday, play a practice round, play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, come home Friday night, and then hop into work Saturday, Sunday, Monday at Nevada Bob's. Like, that is no life. And lads go on about the glamour of pro golf. Like, it doesn't exist for the majority of people.
And most of that time he was making more money in Nevada Bob's.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like,
you're
spending your wages.
It's frightening. So his best year on EuroPro, I was just reading back, because we've obviously been covering all his satellite tour progress and stuff. So 2019 was the year where he was flying on the Order of Merit on EuroPro. He just missed out. He came seventh on the Order of Merit.
Yeah, yeah.
just missed out on his Challenge Tour card, goes to Q School, plays 180 holes, skips Challenge Tour altogether, gets his Category 17 on EuroPro, or sorry, on the European Tour. But that year, so just for like perspective or whatever, his first event then, he played the Alfred Dunhill before Christmas after he got his card, and he won just over 20 grand for 1 week's work. For the 15 events he played on this like brilliant season that he had on EuroPro, he earned 21,000 sterling for 15 events come seventh. Like, so the opportunity was just through the roof as soon as he got on the European Tour, and thankfully he's put in the groundwork that his game just transitioned pretty much immediately.
And like, it was his birthday last week. He's 37 years of age now. He has to be looking at a 2-year exemption into all the Rolex Series events now as a winner. All the opportunities in front of him, like, he has a great chance to turn himself into a millionaire by the time he's 40 now, if he capitalizes into these events. Like, an average week for him, a good week for him, he's just looking for 2 or 3 of them a year, and you'll bank $500,000 a year.
Yeah, he's been a birdie machine
constantly.
His putting is just so good. Once he's hitting the ball well and giving himself chances, he's going to convert most of them. I think he
You said, imagine him. Imagine giving Lowry his putting stroke.
Literally, I'd say Lowry would have, definitely multiple majors. He'd be on for the Grand Slam this year, 100%. it's a real great story. Like, I was reading back on quotes from, like, when he did make it in 2009, like, he got his card, but he said he was straight out of college, and, like, he was basically an amateur playing on the tour, and he just said he was not ready for it.
Yeah, he was lost.
Also interesting was he went with a management company, not exactly sure who they were, but he said, like, I've made that, when I talked to him a couple of years ago, he's like, I've made that mistake before, getting a management company. So when he got on the tour this time, he's like, I'm not doing it that way.
Do it myself.
Yeah. Sounds like he was just backed by friends as well, like, in terms of sponsorship. A couple of, like, good mates of his just saw the potential in him and took a chance in him, so he could focus, I guess, 100% in his golf, and clearly that's paying dividends now.
He was asked that actually about the Nevada Bobs thing yesterday, saying, like, oh, but they closed down, didn't they, a few years ago? Did that help your golf kit? I think they closed in 2018 or something, and he was, oh no, I left a year before that. Someone came in and sponsored me and says, yeah, it wasn't my fault they closed.
Yeah, no, that was class. I did hear that as well. It's a shame. So, like, Garrick Higo wins last night, $1.3 million. dollars in the PGA Tour. Caldwell wins 145 grand in the European for a win, but
it's the exemption.
Yeah, as Niall Carney says, it's all about the points. The opportunity that gives him for the 2 years, and as you say,
he'll
into
cash
the
in.
Big money events now.
He'll cash in. And the thing that the eye opening thing, like, we're talking about Q School 2019, and that's when he came through and got his opportunity. That opportunity was taken away from guys last year in 2020, and then we get news this week that Q School has gone again for this year. So, like, we have a conveyor belt of young lads with zero opportunity to play and zero opportunity to kick on now. Like, the cards and the opportunities to get onto these events, unless you're coming through top 5 in EuroPro, top 15 in Challenge Tour, you're not getting a sniff.
No, I know. And on top of that, I found the last few weeks that there's these guys that are getting a sniff and they're taking it straight away. Like, there's no time for lads to be stumbling when they get their start. Even, I'm trying to find here, can't find his name. He won on the Challenge Tour this week, 22-year-old. On debut, wins by 5. Like, that's what you're up against.
Yeah.
Insane. So it really puts the pressure on. Flip side of it is, so we were talking 2 weeks ago about the Team Ireland grants and, like, lads, like, should they be getting this money, should they not? And, like, how many years can you survive as a pro when you're not actually making money and stuff? Like, this gives the dreamers something to cling to now, big time.
Yeah.
Like, it.
I actually asked him that afterwards. And the presser said, you're wearing, you know, Team Ireland logo on your left arm, the importance of that support. He's been supported over a decade, by Team Ireland. So, like, you can comfortably say he's got 80 to 100 grand of supports. And he said it was just vital to keep him going through times, and now it's justified. We have another full European Tour card member.
100%, and the timing of it couldn't be better. Like, I feel like Irish golf needed someone to do something just to give everyone a boost, whether, like, they're struggling or not. I saw Conor O'Rourke saying, like, he's going to take so much inspiration out of that, and there'll be a ton of lads like that that will as well. It's brilliant. Like, yeah, I'm all about the dreamers going well. And he's a young man. He said it even a couple of years ago. He was saying, like, when he got his card, that well, I'm only 35 now. I feel like I'm in my prime. I'm hitting the ball further than I was 10 years ago. I'm all around more mature, this and that. Like, he has a good 10 years in him now to make absolute bank.
Make a bit of bank. Yeah, but the COVID situation is really, he seems to have thrived on the whole closed shop element of golf. No one coming behind him to take cards. He's into so many events. And every time he got an opportunity since 2019, he's taken it.
Yeah.
He's progressed on, like, you know, his graph of upwardly trending results has just gone up and up and up and up. Now, it's going to be very hard to top what he did yesterday. But, like, the sky really is the limit. To have job security for 2 years now and know you're into all the big events, like, you know, and his tail is up. He was asked after the round yesterday as well, you know, you're playing Irish Open, Scottish Open, you have some big events coming up, and like top three or four in those events get into the Open.
Yeah.
So like if he keeps playing like he's playing, especially around Renaissance Club, like a club, he'd be really hoping for wind. Him. Yeah, big time. Yeah. Class.
No, absolutely. Sky's the limit. I just to run through a few of the things like off the back of that win. Obviously it's his first European Tour win, 48th appearance, so not a bad strike rate. First male to win ladies European Tour event was a good stat. He's up to 43rd on the Race to Dubai from 162nd, so that's massive.
Yeah.
He's up to 210 in the world from 456th, and he's the 61st Northern Irishman to win the European Tour, the first since Graeme McDowell at the Bonesaw. So fair play to him that way. But yeah, like it's brilliant. I can see him like handbrake golf now, no pressure. The way he puts, like yeah, you could easily see him win again.
Big time. No, hopefully. Yeah, from there, like, you mentioned him already. Gary Keogh, like, another, like, I just don't know where this guy's come from. He's totally left the field. We were talking about him winning, like, out in the Canary Islands a few weeks ago, and he goes to the States and he wins over there. Like, this is now, like, three wins in, like, 10, 12 events.
It's unbelievable.
Like, and he, his second win in the PGA Tour, like, he's breaking unbelievable records.
Yeah.
And this is only the start for him. You're just looking at him. Like, by all accounts, his presser afterwards, he claims he played shite, like.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's still winning.
Said he couldn't drive the ball to save his life. Yeah, it's, he is an absolute killer. I'm raging I didn't back him. I had him backed a couple of weeks ago. I would have stuck with him. I saw Gary Player claiming a bit of kudos for the win as well. I phoned him up to say it just before the final round, like that I've come from behind many times and won it, like trying to give him a bit of inspiration and that. Clearly an absolute disaster for Chesson Hadley, who I think he's too clear with three holes to play, bogey, bogey, bogey.
Tony Finau.
Oh, it was
like, it was shocking.
It was very hard to watch. Like the man didn't look like he had a par in him. And you just knew when he was teeing up on the 18th, even though he rips his drive down there, you still just know he's going to somehow manage to knock it by, like, the cup for his par and miss out on the playoff, which he did. And yeah, Higo, like, he was all smiles, didn't say a word about Hadley, remorseless, just a pure South African
just a killer. 22-year-old, just machine. But even Hadley, like, he dropped back into, like, a tie for second with, like, seven or eight other lads. So, like, the bogey on the last has literally cost him like a million quid.
Yeah. Oh, stop. Yeah. It's definitely a few hundred grand anyway. No, it was really painful to look at. I don't know. He's won before 7 years ago, but it's amazing how as you get older, you can just lose that youthful exuberance that doesn't give a shite, as you say. And yeah. All the dangers just come into your head and he had a nightmare.
And so, I did have shamrocks in my eyes, you know, when we see an Irish dream story earlier in the day, and then Seamus Power gets off to such a good start.
I reckon as soon as an Irish golf journalist screenshots a player a few holes into his round with birdies, that the end is nigh. Like it's constant, the curse. I know a few of them to do it. I won't name them. They know who they are. Seamus, that's a couple of times now where he's just stumbled home and cost himself an absolute fortune.
Like that, but that, like, it's the same as a few weeks ago. What does he take away positive from that? I know, Bernie McGuire was chatting to him throughout the week, like, one of the guys that does a fair bit of stuff for us, and he was like, I'm more comfortable now in contention, and You know, I'm enjoying it and we're having fun and freewheeling it, but like, he just put the brakes on in the back line. Like, Higo started behind Power before the round and kicks on. Like, Seamus was 9 under after 6 holes. He was still 9 under after 13
playing,
holes.
Yeah, playing 14 and is 9 under.
Then two he throws behind. In a, 2 off the winning
score. The eventual
score,
winner, yeah.
And finishes again. Like, just throws in a double bogey like he did a few weeks
out
ago.
Out of nowhere.
Cost him a fortune. Like, struggles to hang on to the top 20.
Yeah, exactly, just and inside top 20.
Goes from, like, the guts of £1 million of a prize check to 80 grand.
Well, yeah, 85 grand. That's 373,000 this season. 5 cuts made in the spin. Like, it, take that and forget about everything else. You'd be like, all right, he's going pretty well. That's a good year or whatever. But he knows that he's playing well enough to convert, not maybe not a win, but a top 5 finish, a top 10 finish there.
Top 2 or 3
finish,
lock his card. Lock his card up. That's all he's interested in. But yeah, to miss out in the top 10 and getting in to the Travelers in a few weeks as well, like, is...
That's a killer. And it, like, he already says, like, now, so US Open, then Travelers in 2 weeks, he's not in either. So he's going to go...
Corn Ferry.
Yeah, Corn Ferry and try Monday qualify for the Travelers, which is an exhausting way to do things.
Yeah.
But that's just how it is. Like, he's making bank, in fairness to him. And as I always say about him, he's the cat with 9 lives. Like, he just continues to somehow get some sort of status on the tour. But this, it feels like the year where it could be the breakthrough that he actually secures his card for a while. It just hasn't happened yet.
It's just the deeper we get, the closer to the FedEx Cup playoffs that we get. Like, we're in June now. You're talking August?
Yeah.
coughing away. But yeah, you're talking August. So, like, there's so many guys that are going to take the opportunity and kick on. And I'd love to see Seamus kick on, but I just can't see. Like, he's had more chances than many this year already and just can't jump through. And the more you put yourself in those spots and fall backwards when the spotlight's on you, it just digs you.
I know. Well, like, the optimist in me would like to say that the more he knocks on the door, like, the sooner it has to open. But I agree that if you're just mounting scar tissue on top of scar tissue, you're going to struggle to ignore that down the stretch. But yeah, I don't know. He missed a few great birdie chances as well. He grazed the hole 3 times in the back 9 before he had that little stumble at the end. Just disappointing. Just to do a little segue, but his best finish this year is top 10 at the Byron Nelson. I wanted to mention, because I know we had people in touch with us about John Murphy, who was meant to be playing that event, the Byron Nelson, as an amateur. He's just turned pro there a few days ago, and he was in touch to say that the reason he didn't play it as an amateur is because they offered him the chance to play it as a professional next year, and he said it was a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
So that's a major boost for his rookie season, I guess. Like, that's a class opportunity.
$8 million event.
Like. Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, no, that was brilliant to see. Seamus, yeah, he's up to 165 in the FedEx. I think he jumped, like, 8 spots. So, like, that's a pretty paltry return for what should have been a big week. But, yeah, he won't be feeling as bad as Jess and Hadley. Look on the bright side. But another nearly week. And Padraig wasn't up to much.
No, missed cut. Back home to Caroline.
Back home to Caroline. There you go. But yeah.
He's not in the US Open, is he? He missed out in the US Open qualifying as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so we thought originally he was in it, but no, into the Masters next year. It's a shame. He was, obviously playing great at the PGA, but I don't know, maybe. He's played a lot of golf, I feel like, this year. It might be a bit of burnout.
Torrey would be the type of place that would suit him as well, but we'll get into a bit of a US Open chat later. But another nearly week as well. Leona, top 10, but like, it started off like a train. Course records blown things out of the water. Like, at one stage she was 5 clear of the field on day 1, 6 clear of the field.
Cruising, she got the 8 under, bogeyed the last, which was a par 5. I'm sure she was thinking, get the 9. Blow them away. Didn't happen. Kind of surprised.
I'm very surprised at that. I thought, you learn a lot from her when she puts herself in that position. I thought, okay, she struggled the second day early on, recovered the back well, still in the top 2 or 3, and I thought, this is her week now, she's going to kick on, but just didn't happen.
So Saturday, I actually didn't realise this until today, but she opened with a double bogey. Approach shot on the first hole, hits a pine tree, ball doesn't come down, Her and her playing partners are there, Daniel Kang and Kim, I think, looking for the ball, trying to identify in the tree, whatever. Leona's talking to a referee. 3 minutes elapses, and then she just hears a big, like, thud on the ground. She says, surely that's a ball from the driving range or something like that. But it's her balls after falling 50 yards from the tree onto the ground. And she's, her playing partner's reading, like, oh, great, there you go, there's your ball, play on. But then they kind of were like, oh, I think 3 minutes has elapsed there. Leona's raging with herself. She reckons she should have got a second opinion from a referee because she was told that it's a penalty stroke and she has to go back and replay the shot. Don't know if the rule was implied correctly, but she wishes she got a second opinion. She said it, that it was a rookie mistake, was her quote, and that she'd learn a lot from it. But that was just a killer for a moving day start. Like, so unlucky to have a ball set up in a tree. Makes double bogey, shoots 74. Kind of the end of her tournament, really, there.
Yeah. Grinded out, though, top nine. She's a new caddy on the bag this week as well. She's Dermot Byrne, that was with Shane Lowry for the guts of a decade there and won his WGC and stuff with him. So nice to see Dermot back. I think it's only three, four weeks of a gig for now, but I don't know what it'll develop into. But she's cutthroat, like, got rid of the old caddy after the match play. Like, she was fuming coming away from that, apparently.
Really? I wasn't sure what the story was there, because, God, she's made a pretty good start. I had a feeling, though, after a couple of weeks off, that she was going to be absolutely up for that tournament there.
Yeah,
it's like, Jesus, it's another good week. She banks close to 30 grand for it. She's up to 20th on the race, the CME Globe. She'll just, she'll be kicking herself a bit. Like, she sounded very frustrated in the post-round press conference. Because she's a winner. Like, she doesn't... She's not there for top tens. Obviously, she's happy to be making bank and this and that, but when she has a chance, she's used to winning.
Yeah.
And she's won twice in symmetric tour. Like, she's used to winning as a pro as much as she is an amateur. But it's coming.
Quite bullish about that at the start of the season. Yeah, it's coming. A win's around the corner. But you question now if she's just going to fall back into, you know, getting the odd few top tens, keeping her card. Is she gonna be a winner on the big stage?
I'd say she'd be the type of person, if she heard that, Peach, she's like, I'm going to win just to spite you.
I know, yeah.
Is that your plan? Reverse psychology?
Hopefully. No, I'd love to see her win, but it's just, the margins are so fine and she hasn't put all the cards of the deck together yet.
No.
But she's buying time.
Was a tough course and, like, it was cold, typical San Francisco.
She said it felt like home, but yeah. She loved it.
Yeah. They're playing the Mayer Classic this week and the major the week after. Like, if she's only coming into form, like, it's pretty good timing.
Yeah.
Loads to be optimistic for with Leona.
Hopefully. And, like, Solheim is definitely on her radar.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely on her radar. So let's, fingers crossed. So where are we to next?
Well, we had a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if we want to just do a quick roundup. What do you reckon?
Yeah, go for it.
So anyone who was following the website last week would have seen that we were flat out. So we had, just on hot in the heels of Johnny Caldwell, we had Douglas's Carl Bornemann taking the silver medal at the European Seniors. Only finished a shot back, one over par. So that was a nearly week. We had Connor Purcell played all four rounds at the Challenge in Cadiz Challenge Tour. 5 under par for the week. Shared 34th, moves up to 87th on the road to Mallorca. Made a pretty good start to his pro career, Connor.
I'm very impressed with how he's settling, because he's like, he went through nearly a year of not being able to do anything.
Yeah.
And no events. And now that he's got into a run of events, he's the only one of our players that I would say is consistently making cuts every week, consistently up there, and isn't far away from challenging in something. So you'd like to see him kick on.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it was a tough week for the likes of Paul McBride last week, like, just missing a couple of miles. Conor O'Rourke had a really bad week off the back of a couple of good ones. So that has to knock your confidence. I don't really know where it came from. And winning there, I couldn't think of his name earlier, but Christophe Oulenaars was the Belgian, 22 years old, wins by 5 on his pro debut. Like, that kind of thing is scary good.
Like,
be another superstar.
Yeah, but that's what you're saying. It's just across the board. That's what they're doing. That's what these kids are. They know, I've worked hard for this. If I get in, get one chance, I need to win.
Yeah. And
that's the difference. Like, and we're talking about, you know, big enough to like a Tom McKibben and stuff like that. And he's got some quality starts this year since he's turned pro. And this guy has just come and came out of nowhere and straight up, yeah, done. Challenge Tour winner. Kick on, that's it.
Yeah, 19 under par he was through three rounds. Just coasted scoring home, level par on the last round. Like, he didn't need to do anything.
The scoring on the Challenge Tour is off the charts most weeks. Like, it's...
You're generally, like, 5 under par cut line. It's insane. So, you have to be on the attack from the get-go. Back closer to home now, I guess. Alex Maguire, Laytown and Beattystown won the Connacht Stroke Play at Portumna. Sounded like a pretty good, exciting tournament. Himself and Liam Nolan were level at the end of regulation play. There was a 3-all playoff, and he beat Liam by a shot. He's a sophomore over in Florida, and he's coached by Donald Scott. So, well done to Alex.
I would have thought Joe Lyons now would have kicked on. He was in a great spot. The old dog for the hard road there, he was, would have kicked on, but the young lads just kicked on through, and he felt, I think he shot a final round 74, I was looking, which I didn't expect around. Of course, he'd done so well, Portumna, like being a Galway man, but no, it was good.
No, that was good. Shout out to Hermitage's Kate Lanigan. The women's amateur was on last week. She outlasted all the Irish women anyway. Just fell short in the quarterfinals, but that was an impressive performance. Olivia Mahaffey had 6 birdies in the final round 68 at the Colorado Open, her first top 10 as a pro. I'd imagine she didn't play Symetra. I was thinking she'd be in Symetra last week, but she wasn't, but that would be her plan. Cups and Shields wins for Carton House, Spanish Point, and Bearhaven. I was in Carton, had a game on Saturday morning. They had all the champagne on ice. Thought it was for me, wasn't.
I'd say there was some sore heads after that.
Long overdue. Like, they lost to Galway 2 years ago in the Senior Cup. It's one they've wanted for a while, and I think they want a few more now. It's a savage team that they have put together there, in fairness to them.
It's good, and it's good to see Bearhaven as well. That's their first...
Yeah.
I think that's their first national pennant as well, so it's nice to see new clubs.
A small club as well.
Unlike, the Pierce Purcell with Spanish Point?
The Spanish Armada, yeah.
I don't get it. Like, there's no way. Like, I remember...
Some wild scores.
Oh, my God. Like, the handicaps are all over the shop by the looks of it. Like, you can't... How can I just don't know how a club can. I think that's their third win in 7 years in that event. That should not happen.
Yeah.
And all things being right, that should not happen. And you get to an All-Ireland final and you think you're after progressing through so many rounds, All-Ireland final. There's no way you're going to get like 4 and 5, six and five.
There was an 8 and 7. Yeah, like, thrown in.
There's no way you get scores like that in an All-Ireland final unless there's something like absolutely dodge about handicaps.
Yeah.
And like,
and that's the end of our invite to Spanish Point.
No, but like, it's not right. It's not right.
It doesn't feel right to me. Like, there's a, there has to be question marks there, sadly.
There's a bit of minding going on.
Perhaps. The app will fix that.
The app will fix it, yeah. I know, but it, like, you know, fair is fair. Like, it's a good win for them, but it is kind of tarnished when...
that's crazy.
Something like that, when you get crazy scores like that. I remember seeing the Spanish Point lads actually in Carton House when the Cups and Shields were on there a few years ago. Like, they were playing the same day as Portmarnock were playing Senior Cup, and a few of the Spanish Point lads were like striking the ball better.
Played Senior
then
Cup.
They could have went out and played Senior Cup, like they were that good. So you just don't like seeing it, but it is what it is.
No, it's not hard. We'll manage the handicaps in the Irish Golfer Event Series. We'll leave that to Golf Ireland. And then apart from that, just one more. Europro is in full swing. Dermot McElroy had a top 10 last week, which was great, and Shannon's Daniel Brennan. The two boys were winning free shots playing the final round, like, so they finished 9th and 14th. Wasn't a great finish, to call a spade, but encouraging, I guess, all the same. It's just, I don't know, like, people might gauge it from there, but the season is in full swing. It's mental at the minute here for us in the office and stuff, but it's great. Like, it's long overdue. We're catching up on an awful lot of golf. It's gonna be a long summer.
And we're staring into a US Open now, Torrey Pines.
I know, yeah.
Feel the thrill.
This is, like, it just snuck up, this one. Like, it's just one thing after the other, but it's exciting. It's exciting because I think finally all our talking up to Shane Lowry, I think this is the week. This is the week the windfall lands for Mr. Craven here.
Once because he could easily get paired. We were talking about pairings a few weeks ago. Can you imagine if it's like Bryson and Brooks, they get paired them and they go, right, yeah, how are we going to justify this? Right, who's the Open champion?
Yeah,
throw Shane Lowry in the mix there. Like,
could you imagine?
Stop. I'd
say he'd knock
like
a bit of crack out
he'd
of it.
Like
yeah.
It. Yeah, he'd be abusing the lads. But
I saw Steve Stricker, like he spoke on the Bryson Brooks thing, and he's just like, they're not making my job any easier. which is fair enough. He's like, hopefully they'll be big boys and they'll put it aside for the Ryder Cup, which they will if it's even genuine anymore. I've definitely turned into the whole this is a conspiracy theory for the player impact program so they get a big chunk of cash.
That and the match, yeah, no, like it is, it's a bit hollow. But
there was good news on that US Open. John Rahm cleared to play. If there was justice in the world, like if it's fair enough, say Larry doesn't win or McIlroy doesn't win or whatever, I don't think that anyone would begrudge John Rahm winning this week. First major, like after that.
He should have been vaccinated.
I know, but I know.
I find it crazy that it isn't PGA Tour policy that you have to be vaccinated to play in these events.
Yeah.
If he got COVID and he was vaccinated, he still could have played on, like, because it's his own fault.
It's
and
USA,
when you read that
baby.
half of them haven't been vaccinated, I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
They're just leaving themselves open. Like, they're jabbing people going in the gates at the events.
You can't just infringe on the First Amendment,
you can't.
Man.
You can't. Yeah. Don't take their guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't vaccinate. But no, I don't have as much sympathy. I'm delighted he's back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, delighted that hopefully he hasn't infected any of the other players from a couple of weeks ago. No one's come out and tested positive.
Well,
since.
They've definitely kept that quiet if he has. Because,
yeah,
given the amount of handshakes that were going on at the end there, like, surely that's prime
candidate. Xander's been tested, I don't know how many times, and a few of the lads that was around him, so.
He'll be a good fancy anyway. But no, Lowry coming back to, it's an interesting one, how relevant is, like, Farmers Form going to be from Torrey? Like, is it going to be completely, it will be a completely different setup, but.
Yeah, because Farmers start of the year, it's a bit softer, it's, like, it's not as.
You'd have to take some advantage, I think, if you're. Yeah. If you're playing well, like just in terms of like picking lines and like if shots like suit your eye, that kind of thing. But then, yeah, ramp up the difficulty on a course he already likes, and that just plays into Larry's hands even more.
And that's what the USGA do. Like this, they get courses like this that aren't extremely difficult, but they just put windmills on the greens and kill the greens. And
yeah,
like it's not a proper US Open unless we have brown greens, they think. So.
Yeah.
That's it. Whereas, like, Harrington made some good comments the last time, like, about the PGA with Phil's win. He said, like, it was the best course setup that he had because they got a difficult golf course and reined it back a little rather than getting an easy golf course and tricking
it up. Yeah.
And it's just the way players like it, you know, so the way. So, yeah, I'd have my doubts this week that course form on Torrey will come into it as much because once they let the greens die,
yeah,
it just becomes a, like it's a lottery on the greens. A lot.
What
of
are
times.
You hoping for? Or do you want it to be just carnage and six over winning total, like proper US Open
exactly.
Madness?
Yeah, like GMAC that time, like everyone just having a dump down the last few holes. It's good, but that adds a bit, and like birdies actually mean you're gaining a shot or two on the field, you know.
Yeah.
I do like hard weeks like that. It will, you know, if it's set up like that, Phil will have a sniff, there is no question.
Yeah.
So
it'd be interesting, yeah, how he goes with the burden of Grand Slam expectation. Like he didn't seem to knock him off his stride at all, like he would win another major. Like he still was just ice cool down the stretch. But
and you were calling him an irrelevance.
That was you. We have that on record. I'm going to play the file now. I'd hate to see him win it now, to be honest.
So would I. No, absolutely. No,
yeah.
Get out of the limelight.
And
all the stuff that we were talking about, it's looking like this Premier Golf League is going to happen. 2023.
Yeah.
Without the Saudis.
Yeah, exactly. Not the Saudi back.
The
this
one.
Is the Super Golf League. $20 million prize purses, $4 million to the winner. I was saying earlier that like the likes of the Caldwell story, like the Super Golf League would make those stories redundant, that it wouldn't happen anymore. And I saw someone on Twitter being like, oh no, but you can vote for a 13 team each week, and like no disrespect to Johnny Caldwell, but who's voting for him and Richard Bland and lads like that? Like it's not going to happen. I don't know who you'd vote for Ricky Fowler probably, just he gets all the invites. But Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it looks like it's odds on to happen. Who it happens with, though, is another thing.
Like, who'll be first to jump will be the big thing. Who's
like, if it's Lee
first?
Westwood and Henrik Stenson, all good luck to them. Like, we're a concealed driving range here. I wouldn't walk out the door there to watch those lads hit balls.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
Interesting, though. Interesting. It'll shake things up big time.
Yeah. No, it will. It will. Things need a shake up. Like, the wealth disparity already, even between the European Tour and PGA Tour, never mind all the bloody mini tours and all the rest. Like, when you're seeing that the winner of the PGA Tour this week is getting 10 times what Johnny Caldwell got for winning.
Even look yesterday, Heldwell at the Scandinavian Mixed, so the top ranked female player. I think she won $55,000 for finishing fourth.
Mm.
And the winner on the LET 2 weeks previous got like $30,000.
I know.
So, like,
it's so miserable.
It's shocking.
It's very hard. Like, fair play to people getting up out of bed and thinking, I want to become a professional golfer. Like, it is a ballsy dream to have.
Yeah.
So few can make it.
It is a dream. That's the thing. It is a dream.
Yeah. They can come true.
Yeah.
Well done, Johnny.
Right. Yeah, so we'll come back with more US Open stuff again. But yeah, it's all set up for a big week. I'm back in Rory again. That's it.
Good man, Rory's chatting on Wednesday. Yeah, the website will be packed with, good preview stuff all week. I'm not going to get into a Rory debate. Larry has Rory's number this week.
Rory and Shane.
Yeah, no, again, always well represented at the majors, which is super for Irish golf, so we're not complaining. But yeah, no, beyond that, that's kind of a wrap on what's happened last week, I think.
Yeah, with heroes and villains.
Who have you got?
The heroes handy.
Ah, I have it, actually. The paramedics who saved Christian Eriksen's life.
Ah, stop. Stop.
Major shout out to them. But no, Johnny Caldwell.
Johnny Caldwell, yeah. No, it has to be Johnny. Like, it's just the 2 year exemption changed his life to do what he did with the pressure on. Phenomenal.
Yeah, 100%. Putting money behind the bar for the lads. Doesn't forget where he come from. The whole, yeah, Nevada Bob story. Like, it's a bit of a rags to riches tale in golf terms. It's brilliant. And yeah, the world is oyster now. Like,
he could be leading out parades next month. Be great, crack. Then on to villains then. I'm going 100% all in with Mark Hensby on what happened to him.
This, yeah, God. This was wild if people haven't heard about this.
So he literally got a 10-stroke penalty in the first round on the PGA Tour this week. He was on the putting green and had two practice balls down, practicing beside Pat Perez, and picked up one of his balls by accident. So, picked up the wrong ball, and he dropped a shot, hit a ball in the water in like his fifth, and took a ball out of the bag. Just, you don't expect another ball to be in. And it's the exact same Pro V, the exact same cover, it's just a low spin one. With a little dot on the side of it. And he realised after, like, five holes.
He had to get, like, the Titleist manufacturers and stuff. Like, he wasn't sure if it was a blemish or what had happened.
No, they thought that one of the other balls in the ball factory had cross-contaminated into a sleeve of his balls. So they were freaking out going, there's no way this could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out, no, it's one of Pat Perez's balls. So Pat Perez picked up one of his, and luckily Perez didn't.
Didn't use it.
Yeah, didn't use it either. But yeah, so he didn't bother turning up for the next day. Like, he returned his round fairly well, but like, there's no recovering from 10 shots of penalty. And they've only changed that rule. It used to be you just get a 4-stroke penalty, but now it's 2 shots a hole.
It's very harsh, that rule. No?
They're saying it's to stop lads changing compression balls throughout to suit wind conditions and stuff like that. That sometimes you could change your ball and 4 strokes wasn't enough. And
that must be where I went wrong on Saturday. didn't change my ball.
Getting out the old dots. But yeah, no, it's just a crazy rule. It's one of these crazy rules. He called on himself. You know, he was a late invite into the tournament. He didn't get into Tuesday and, you know, was driving 14 hours or whatever to get there, he was saying. And gets in, he's gone after a day. Like, I think he turns 50 at the end of the month, so he's just trying to get his skills together for turning 50 and getting onto the seniors tour as a past winner. So, but yeah.
I think that rule should be amended. I think 2 shots is plenty for that. Like, What advantage he gained with this ball compression thing? That's that.
He played better with it. He did play better with it. He might tee up with a whole lot of dotted balls this week.
Maybe he will. But yeah, after putting that amount of effort and prep time in, that's devastating. I actually, yeah, feel genuinely bad for him. Villains, I didn't really have many. Like the pine tree that screwed over Leona Maguire definitely is a villain. Tree swallowing golf balls seems to be becoming a real common thing.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy had it at Kiawah Island. Eisenhower's tree. Like there's, yeah, it's frustrating. I think a real villain though, who seems to be getting away scot-free, is Angel Cabrera for beating women.
He's a proper villain.
That's a proper, like he is going to be a jailed villain.
It's shocking to see the photographs of it, like being extradited and just mask on, handcuffs on out in front of him and back in Argentina in his home country where like literally they treat him like a god.
Yeah.
And he's coming back for assault charges. And
well, he is, like, he'd have to be their best goal forever, but obviously a very bad, bad man.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. You wouldn't know to look at him waddling like a duck around the Augusta now, but yeah, Cabrera's high on my list as villain, for sure. But yeah, proper villain.
Anyone else?
Not really. Gary Player did irk me a bit that he had to go on talking about how he inspired Garrick Higgo's win. He seems to inspire everyone. And he phoned Garrick Higgo as well. He's some man to yap at Gary Player. You'd be like, Jesus, Gary, could you please? I have him on the tee in 10 minutes.
You can do it, Garrick. Good man. But no, I think that's a wrap then. We'll be back with some US Open stuff. Again, you can keep it all week on the website, irishgolfer.ie. We'll be bang up to date with the latest Irish and US Open golf news.
Palmerstown House, yeah, this Friday.
Palmerstown, we have our event. There's a few spots left in Palmerstown for Open on this Friday. So we have $5,000 worth of prizes as well. If you want to check out the website, the event section on the website for that, and download the app. If you don't have the app downloaded already, Irish Golfer app, just search on Android or Apple and download it, and it'll just keep you up to date with everything.
Definitely would encourage people to go to Palmerstown as well. I was there during the week for a quick hit. Played that New Island Green 10th hole, TPC Sawgrass of Ireland. It's incredible. Worth the green fee alone.
You played it, did you? I didn't know you went down.
Yeah, no, worth the green fee alone. Didn't even hit the ball in the water, I'll have you know. But no, it's super. People, whoever's lucky enough to get a half day on a Friday or whatever, they should definitely come check it out.
No, sounds good. Right, Johnner, cheers for joining us again.
No worries, Pete. Thanks for having me.
And cheers for all you for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.